I think I was a Christian from the moment I was conceived. As a child, every day with Jesus at my side was an adventure. Bugs to discover, snowflakes to taste, four-leaf clovers to find. I loved life, and I was eager to get to know all who crossed my path. Evenings, I was lovingly tucked into bed, prayed, and sang myself to sleep. At the age of 5, I encountered darkness for the first time. Mom let me go to the park with Pat. She was 9, and it was a safe neighborhood. Arriving, we were approached by a boy and his older cousin. It was like they had been waiting for us. They invited us to play cowboys and Indians. I was ready to play. They looked like real cowboys, red kerchiefs, leather belts with holsters, ropes, and of course, cowboy hats. The game was played behind Sylvan Christian School. There were acres of undeveloped land, a pond, and an old orchard. Naturally, Pat and I were the Indians and ran for cover while the cowboys counted to 100. The cowboys found and captured me first while Pat stayed hidden. My wriggling and struggling meant it took both cowboys to gag me, tie my hands and feet to the trunk of the apple tree, and strip me. Suddenly, it was not a game. I was terrified. I turned my head to lock my eyes on the not-too-distant parking lot. Every ounce of energy I had was focused to send soundless pleadings to the owners of the cars. "Please, help me. Please come," I begged. The sexual assault ended short of rape. Someone answered those silent pleadings and came out of the building. A man walked slowly toward us and his car. The cowboys thought they had been seen, and they panicked. They sheathed the hunting knife, took back their ropes, gag, and ran. A 5-year-old does not have the words to describe what happened. I knew I had gone willingly. I felt dirty, guilty, ashamed. It was unbearable to think about, let alone to speak of. A short time later, my mother and a friend were talking about an article in the newspaper. 2 boys were arrested for molesting a girl at the park. I was listening. Before I could speak, my mother, realizing I heard their conversation, rushed to reassure me. I was safe. That happened to the girl in the newspaper. The police caught the boys. I was safe. Over time, that conversation seemed to have left me deeply uncertain. Did this actually occur, or did I imagine it? Many have suffered far worse things. But this changed me. I no longer greeted each day with joy, but often with fear. Not speaking about the event did not lessen the impact. I attended kindergarten at the school with the adjacent orchard. When thoughts of the incident came into my head, I recited a series of numbers to drive them away. Pat and I never spoke of the incident, and she moved from our neighborhood. I was a difficult girl in school. Teachers took away my recess, had me put my head down, stay after school, stand in the hall, or go to the dreaded principal's office. I eventually gave up trying to behave in school, and instead, I hoped to make people laugh. It was easy to make kids laugh, but teachers, no, that's a tough audience. Strangely, I was well behaved at home. I created my own world with shoeboxes, the Sears Roebuck catalog, construction paper, paste, scissors, crayons. I liked being home and coloring my world. In high school, the adventures of dating began. Up until that time, I had many friends, but I withdrew when my friends wanted to play more than the spin the bottle of junior high days. My friends and my parents were confused. My dad said, if you don't go out and have fun, we may have to ground you. What was wrong with me? My inner voice did not speak kindly to me. I started to loathe myself. I doubted Jesus' love for me. I was loved at home, but I didn't think anyone else could love me. Happily, I was wrong. I married Jack in 1969. I was amazed and grateful for his love. We were happy. Our first child was born in a tiny hospital in a tiny town in Canada. At 10 and a half pounds, he was not tiny. With no doctors staffing the hospital and my body hemorrhaging, I was transferred by ambulance over rough roads to another hospital. My blood pressure was dangerously low. I was going into shock when I heard a frantic doctor say to the nurse, "She's not going to make it." I was certain I was dying, yet I was not afraid. I felt God's loving presence around me. It was like gentle hands ready to receive me. To recall that moment always comforts me. Our second child was a girl, and I was afraid. How can I keep her safe? Fear grew like an encroaching darkness. By the time she was 5 months old, I had a full-blown psychotic break and was hospitalized. Reverend Boomsma, Jack's and my previous pastor, visited me in the hospital. I told him how I had experienced the presence of God in a powerful way. It was undoubtedly triggered by my illness, but I did not want to dismiss it as just a hallucination. He listened to me and he said, "You will know if it is from God by what it does for you." It deepened my faith. A diagnosis of mental illness was dropped when it was discovered that my thyroid had stopped functioning, probably at the time of delivery. Yet I feared depression. I did not think I could live through such an experience again. Thankfully, I enjoyed years of steadiness and stability. However, the darkness seized an opportunity after I underwent major surgery. Nasty head talk was constant. I was again a worthless child with wicked thoughts. The words in my head were R-rated. I decided to fight back with good head talk. I memorized psalms and songs and poems. I pasted large print copies on my car dashboard. At red lights, I read the verses, and during green lights, I would try to recite. The nasty head talk gradually quit, and I learned to speak kindly to myself. Now words float through my mind like, "Lord, bless me, keep me, make your face shine on me, and give me peace." In 2002, I acquired the married name of the girl I had gone to the park with in the 1950s. I was also given her out-of-state phone number. That day so long ago still haunted me. It took some courage, but I made the call. "Do you remember me?" Yes, she did. I learned she was a high school teacher and had grown children. Eventually, I got up the nerve to say, "I had a purpose in calling." It was quiet for a moment. "I know why you're calling," she said softly. "You're calling about the day we went to the park." My first reaction was relief. It swept over me, sending tears down my cheeks. Like me, she never told her mother, and we shared our stories. For years, I tormented myself, and now I could let it go. Yet the struggling against the darkness continued. 3 years ago in April, I crashed into depression. I sought professional help, but the darkness kept coming. For more than 4 months, I slept about 4 hours a night and battled the darkness in the other 20 hours. Eventually, my paranoid mind was convinced that my darkness would bring ruin on my family. In my twisted thinking, I was convinced I needed to lay down my life for them. One night, I swallowed a full prescription of sleeping pills and went to bed. Jack found the bottle, empty bottle, in the morning and brought me to the hospital. I was still awake and heard Jack ask the psychiatrist, "All those pills, how can she still be here?" "God has been gracious to her," he said. God has indeed been gracious to me. I believe with all my being that had I completed my attempt to end my life, God would still be gracious to me as he is to others. We are all acquainted with the darkness, and we must walk the valley of the shadow of death. But I am afraid of evil, but the Lord is still with me. I'm 66 years old, but I now feel more of the joy I knew when I was 4. Jesus is with me, and I am eager to live each day for him. What does the resurrection mean to me? I am safe. Darkness will never overcome the light. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah.